Tomorrow, Republicans in South Carolina will vote in a primary that once looked like a sure thing, but has become very much up for grabs. Joining me now to discuss this very unsettled race is Adam Beam, who covers politics and the budget for the state newspaper in South Carolina. Very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's been quite a bizarre 36 hours. Texas Governor Rick Perry dropped out of the race and endorsed Newt Gingrich. We learned that Mitt Romney didn't win the Iowa caucuses after all, and then there was a pretty feisty debate last night, and that was followed almost immediately by an ABC News show that aired an interview with Mr. Gingrich's ex-wife, Marianne, in which she said that he wanted an open marriage after he had conducted a secret affair with the woman who has become his third wife. Did yesterday seem as surreal to people in South Carolina as it did to those of us watching it from afar?
Absolutely. And, you know, that wasn't even a complete list because, Herman Cain also reappeared yesterday in South Carolina on the campaign trail, making his unconventional endorsement where he endorsed the people for president. And also in the upstate of South Carolina, there was a blimp with Ron Paul's name on it that ended up backing up traffic for 4 miles in both directions on I-85.
Are people blaming Ron Paul for that? Should there have been more regulation of the airways?
Of course they're going to blame him because his name was on the blimp. But, you know, the Highway Patrol had to eventually get on the phone and get the guy who was up there and say, come down, you're snarling traffic here. So it definitely is surreal. You know, but most of the folks that I talked to yesterday, they're not surprised. You know, especially the chairman of the state Republican Party, Chad Conley, he told me last night that he kept telling everybody that something's going to happen. And lo and behold, many things happened.
Last night's debate was kind of a free-for-all with all four candidates on the attack. Is that mm-hmm. another indication of how close this race is?
Absolutely. And you know, the surprise, well, it's not surprising, but the telling thing about the debate last night was Romney going on the attack. You know, for so long, he has been this kind of candidate above the fray where he just focuses solely on Obama. And you had some of that last night, especially when he talked about, you know, the regret that he had. And he regrets, he said, any time that I was talking about these other candidates, I would have spent talking about Obama. But the fact that he actually mentioned Speaker Gingrich by name and, you know, attacked him using Ronald Reagan's diary, no less, I think it's an acknowledgement that, he definitely is threatening this race, which I'm sure that Romney and his people thought they had wrapped up.
Now, what about the debate? Was there a clear winner? Newt Gingrich says that he's the best debater in America.
Well, I think Gingrich showed that again. Monday, there was near unanimous consent that Gingrich was the winner in Monday's debate, and he got a huge bump out of that, and that's contributing to his surge here. Last night, you kind of saw Gingrich unsettled a few times. He got caught off guard a couple of times. He's really good when he's attacking the moderator, attacking the media, and doing his thing. But when he gets kind of in these exchanges with the other candidates, he can kind of seem condescending sometimes. So something he's got to watch out for. That was the opinion of a political science professor here in South Carolina that watched the debate last night. But a guy that did really well last night was Rick Santorum. He really came out hard on the attack. He tried to portray Gingrich and Romney as these, you know, pro big government healthcare guys, and then pointing to his own record. And I think the memorable line that he had was he's been working for conservative healthcare reform while these guys have been playing, quote, footsies with the left, unquote. So he really came out strong. But, you know, I just think it might be an example of just too little too late right now for him in South Carolina.
Well, he, before the debate, was polling around 14% in a few polls, which put him in last place. And I was wondering why he hasn't been able to connect with conservative Republicans in South Carolina, despite the endorsement of so many evangelicals.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with this whole notion of electability. South Carolina Republicans are very conscious of that. Going back to 1980, they're very proud of the fact that every person who's ever won the Republican primary has gone on to win the nomination. And they know that that's the source of their political power here, because if it weren't for that, we'd probably not have any candidates come campaign here because, you know, in the general election, it's a foregone conclusion who the state will vote for. And then there's been some polling to suggest that social issues this election cycle are just not that big of an issue. All the candidates agree on them, so to speak, on it. Some that they're trying to portray Governor Romney as being a pro-choice guy. He's certainly come out and vigorously defended that. And I saw some polling last week that suggested that only 4% of the likely voters here felt that social issues were a big concern. And so if you buy into that, that certainly could explain why Senator Santorum has had a difficult time getting traction here, because that's been the central focus of his message. You know, just yesterday, I went to a Santorum rally here in South Carolina down along the coast, and this was shortly after Rick Perry had dropped out of the race and endorsed Newt Gingrich. And I attempted to try to find some Santorum supporters there to some comments from them about how they felt about it. And the first six people that I talked to, just randomly walked up to, they were all from out of state. You know, one was from Iowa, four were from Pennsylvania, where the senator is from, and another guy was from London. And they just all said that they were Santorum supporters traveling around trying to help him out. And I eventually did find two South Carolina voters, but neither one of them said they were Santorum voters. One was for Ron Paul, and the other was leaning toward Romney.
So the mark of a conservative in this election is just economic issues, not family values at all? Is that why Newt Gingrich has taken the lead over Mitt Romney in most polls, despite the latest revelations about him and his peccadilloes?
That's a good theory. You know, certainly Gingrich and Romney have tried to make this an election about jobs and the economy. And that's a message that plays well down along the low country of South Carolina, along the coast and up toward the Midlands. That's an area that the conservatives there are fiscal conservatives first, social conservatives second. And if you look back at 2008, it's the same part of the state that Senator John McCain used to defeat Governor Mike Huckabee to win the South Carolina primary and eventually win the nomination. And, you know, that's a scary thought for a lot of conservatives that don't like Romney. In fact, you know, last weekend there was a group of about 150 conservative evangelical leaders that met in Houston, Texas, and they had a straw poll and they decided to endorse Rick Santorum. And Tony Perkins, who's the head of the Family Research Council, that very influential group, came out and said in a conference call with reporters that, you know, that was an overriding theme of their meeting, was that they wanted to avoid 2008, where they felt that Senator McCain was a moderate and he used that to win South Carolina but then lost the presidency, and they were afraid that's going to happen again. And I think with Gingrich, they see a bulldog, somebody that could go up against Obama and win. And plus, he's just you can't deny that he's such a really good communicator, you know, especially when you go to all these forums and you see Senator Santorum speak and then the speaker, Gingrich, speak. You know, Speaker Gingrich just carries himself better. He connects well with the audience. That's kind of his place to shine, and he's definitely using it to his advantage right now.
Well, he's also from a neighboring state. Would that help him connect better as well? He knows how to talk to people in the South.
Yeah, I'm sure that does help, and plus they're familiar with him. You know, especially from his time as Speaker of the House, whereas Senator Santorum, while he did play a prominent role in the Senate, he wasn't on kind of like national stage when he served there. So that name ID, I'm sure helps him out here too.
My guest is Adam Beam, who covers politics and the budget for The State, the leading newspaper in South Carolina. In last night's debate, the candidates also addressed local issues like deepening the Port of Charleston and a dispute that the state had with the National Labor Relations Board. Are those issues likely to be decisive for voters?
Well, those issues have mostly been decided here. I know the National Labor Relations Board has dropped its lawsuit or dropped its protest against Boeing, mm-hmm. which sought to, you know, open a manufacturing facility here. And the deepening of the Port of Charleston is certainly just getting started. But that issue, mainly affects, you know, it's that kind of that fiscal conservative, that business community type. That would be more of an issue, I think, getting traction here than the NLRB, just because the NLRB issue is closed. But again, you know, it's hard to say that that will be a decisive issue because they kind of all agree that, you know, whenever they talk about it, they say, oh, yeah, it needs to be deepened and, you know, I need to have the ships come. But, you know, Speaker Gingrich has been the one that really take up that mantle a lot. He's usually the first person that brings it up. He talks about offshore drilling, which usually people, you know, prompt some type of applause from the audience, whoever he's speaking with. And then he wants to use the royalties from that to deepen the port and expand it. And, you know, our governor here, Governor Haley, she kind of stirred up a hornet's nest when she her appointed board for DHEC, which is an agency here that regulates health and environmental control issues, voted to allow a permit for a Georgia port that was just down the road that many felt was be competing with Charleston, competing with South Carolina, would take jobs away. So that's been a kind of a sensitive issue here, and it might be a reason why Governor Romney trumpet that as much as how he's going around the state with Governor Haley.
Now, Governor Haley, Nikki Haley, was supported strongly by the Tea Party. Is the Tea Party going to be a factor in this election?
I think they're starting to be. You know, for so long they were not because they were so divided. But I think that's part of the reason why Speaker Gingrich is experiencing the surge that he is because they have rallied to his cause.
Well, Nikki Haley had endorsed Mitt Romney.
That's true. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, you got all these different answers. You get some people who claim that the Tea Party hates her, and then you get other people who claim that the Tea Party still loves her. And that's just kind of a testament to the nature of the Tea Party itself, which is this organized group of like-minded individuals, you know. So I think that Haley's endorsement certainly does help Romney because she is the sitting governor. And say what you will about Governor Haley, any time a governor gets involved, it's going to make a difference.
Now, Newt Gingrich in the debate last night accused the mainstream media of going after him, attacked CNN's John King, the debate moderator, for even bringing up the subject of his ex-wife Marianne's charges. Does that play well?
Well, certainly the speaker's reaction to that plays well, of course. That's kind of been the long conservative strategy, you know, attack the liberal media for distorting their message. Don't listen to them, listen to us. You know, we're the ones bringing the true message out. And so you can just tell by the crowd's reaction. He got standing ovation for his comments that night. But, you know, another thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the former First Lady, Jenny Sanford, was on MSNBC last night, and she called in question the speaker's ethics and his morals and went so far as to say that, you know, she wouldn't vote for him. And then just this morning, there was a conservative activist, also a woman in the upstate, who has not endorsed anyone, but she sent out this email to supporters saying, this is not an endorsement, but I just want you guys to think about before you cast your vote, you know, vote your values, and does Gingrich really represent that? So he's certainly going to, you know, that's certainly going to be an issue for him going forward.
This is the first primary to be held since the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling eased restrictions on political spending. Has that change been evident in South Carolina? Have you been bombarded with ads?
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. I wrote a story last week. These numbers that I'm going to give you are a week old, so they're probably twice what I'm going to tell you by now. But at the time that I wrote this, there was $11.3 million in television ads being spent. That meant that in the Columbia market alone, the average viewer here will have seen a political ad almost nearly 200 times.
Wow.
Before they cast their vote tomorrow. It's incredible. I mean, it's not just television ads. It's radio ads. It's web ads. I mean, you go to thestate.com, and you're going to see everywhere you look, you're going to see ads. You know, I saw the other day I was on the homepage, and you could see an ad criticizing Romney at the top and another one criticizing Santorum on the right-hand side.
Well, are you ready to hear a little clip from a pro-Romney Super PAC ad?
Sure.
Newt Gingrich's attacks are called foolish, out of bounds, and disgusting. Newt attacks because he has more baggage than the airlines. Newt was fined $300,000 for ethics violations, took $1.6 million from Freddie Mac, and co-sponsored a bill with Nancy Pelosi that would have given $60 million a year to a UN program supporting China's brutal one-child policy. Don't be fooled by Newt's desperate attacks. Restore Our Future is responsible for the content of this message.
Well, of course, all candidates have baggage, but Comedy Central host Stephen Colbert has been having a bit of fun with this. And at 1 p.m., he will be, with just a few minutes from now, he'll be holding a rally in Charleston with Herman Cain, who, and he is now asking voters for him to vote for Herman Cain. So will if Cain gets a lot of votes, will people assume that that was really a vote for Stephen Colbert?
They probably will assume that. But, you know, I think if Herman Cain gets a lot of votes tomorrow, the people that will have voted for him will probably have been people who would not have voted in the race anyway. So I don't see Colbert and Cain taking votes away from a certain candidate. Mm-hmm. I think it's just kind of a funny sideshow to this whole thing. Last week I was on a New Hampshire radio station, and they were asking, you know, because they have this guy, Vermin Supreme, that runs there all the time, and they were asking, you know, is there anybody in South Carolina like that? And I said, well, you know, it's got to be Stephen Colbert. Every time we've had a primary here, he's from here, he always tries to insert himself in the primary.
Well, he's from South Carolina.
He was born and raised in Charleston. So he, this is kind of his home state, and so every time we have a primary year, he's always, you know, in 2008 he tried to get on the ballot himself to run, and this year he's chosen to, you know, satirize all the super PACs and try to poke fun at the election laws and their absurdity, which, you know, that's his view, of course. So he certainly is trying to make an impact here any way he can.
Well, but this is a state where we've seen some pretty incredible ads. John McCain's adopted daughter was an issue in 2000, 2008. Barack Obama was attacked for the charge that he had attended a madrasa. The state invites the kinds of things that we've been seeing from Stephen Colbert, doesn't it?
Well, sure. And plus, you know, the fact that he's from here and, you know, people do love him, obviously, just kind of opens that up.
And we have
I think
to
a lot of that.
Go ahead. Finish the sentence.
I was going to say, I think a lot of the negative ads and the kind of dirty attacks has to do with South Carolina's place on the calendar as well. You know, and by the time the candidates get here,
Adam Beam,
it takes a lot of time.
Thank you so much for talking with us.